raise your hand if you need a Bible. Okay. And so I want you to do me a favor and turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I want to say this before I get started. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I preached this message at the Love of Jesus in Orange, my home church. You know, my pastor, I was scheduled to preach. And so I went to my pastor's house, and, you know, as we were sitting there talking, now I've already prepared my message, I'm ready to go, you know. And he says to me, "You're preaching tomorrow, right, G?" So I say, "Yeah, you know." So he says, "I want you to preach on financial principles for financial breakthroughs." So I looked at him and I said, okay. I mean, that's my pastor. I'm not going to say no. But it's like I had prepared my message and now I got to pivot, you know. But bottom line is I preached that message, you know, and at my home church. But this is the thing. Because of the fact that I'm on a time limit, you know, I got 45 minutes to make it happen, you know, so I had to really condense it and, you know, and just try to pull out the, you know, most important, relevant points or whatever. So I had to kind of hit it and quit it. So I said, you know, so I'm going to do this message. So I was thinking about what I was going to preach, and God says, "I want you to preach that, you know, but take your time. You know, you ain't got to rush. You're in your church." So if I want to preach this for 2 or 3 weeks, I could do it, you know. So I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach this message here. And I'm going to open it up a little bit more because God really began to speak to me about some things. But you guys ready? So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, I'm reading in God's Word translation. And, you know, this is what it says. I love this. It says, "God's divine power has given us..." Listen to this. "Everything." Not some things. "But he has given us everything we need for this life and for godliness." I like that. And it says, "This power was given us through knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and integrity." Now, see, what I wanted you to know is this. And while I'm getting into this, I just want you to just look at somebody close to you and just say, "I already have everything that I need to be successful in this life. And I already have everything I need to live a godly life. God has made sure of it." Can you say amen? God has given us everything that we need to be successful in this life. I mean, he has left us with a blueprint. Right? He's left us with the Word of God. He has left us with His Spirit. And His Spirit enables us to do what we cannot do in and within ourselves. So He has given us everything that we need. He's left us with everything we need in order for us to live a successful life while we're here on this planet and to live a godly life while we're here on this planet. Can you say amen? Now, I want to say this to you now that I'm thinking about that. If what you said to your neighbor is true, the question becomes, why are most people not experiencing success? Because the vast majority of people don't. And, you know, this sparked in me because I was watching this guy on Facebook, and he made a very powerful statement. And, you know, and when I heard the statement, I was like, I had to look further. I was like, what does he mean by that? And the bottom line is, this is what he said. He said that accepting Jesus Christ does not change the quality of your life. I was like, whoa, okay. He said, just accepting Jesus Christ does not change the quality of your life. Now, it is your ticket to heaven automatically, right? If something were to happen to you today or tomorrow, you give your life to Jesus, you're saved. You're going to heaven, right? But it doesn't change, he said, the quality of your life. In other words, just accepting Christ doesn't make your life any better on this planet. I want you to listen to this. Now, for me, it was a pretty unique statement to make, you know, so I just had to watch further. I'm like, where's he going with this, right? I'm like, at first, I don't agree with that, right? I said, let me listen, though. Let me not be too, you know, hasty. But the more he explained, the more he made sense to me. He said that giving your life to Jesus grants you access into heaven when you die, but it does not change the quality of your life by making it any better. And he went on to say that the quality of your life will only change when you begin to practice the principles of God. So if you just get saved and you don't do nothing else, you're going to heaven. But if you don't crack open that word and begin to use the principles that God has left for you, your quality of life will not change. You know, I know many people that love Jesus and they're poor. They love Jesus. And guess what? He loves them. But their quality of life has not changed. They're still broke. They're still living hand to mouth. Right? Even though they love Jesus. And even though Jesus loves them, the quality of life did not change for them. They did, however, gain access to heaven. Right? Which is the ultimate thing, right? You know? But you can live on this earth for another 50 years, depending upon how old you are, right? 70 years, and live a miserable existence, just waiting to get to heaven. Yeah. And that can most definitely happen. Ain't no question about that. And for many people, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm not trying to make you sad. It doesn't have to be that way. But I'm just making a point, you know what I'm saying? If you're saved but never practice the principles of God that govern prosperity, you will be poor and live hand to mouth until you die and go to heaven. Now, and this goes for anything, by the way. You could not have peace because you have access to peace, but you cannot have peace. You could be miserable your whole life till you go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? All right, I know you guys are not happy with this kind of message, but I'm trying to help today. If you're saved but never practice the principles that govern peace and joy, you'll be a miserable Christian. Again, you'll go to heaven, but you'll be miserable here on earth. You see, God has given us all things that we need to have a prosperous life. And a godly one. Everything. Already, we have been provided with everything we need. So the bottom line is this. You can have both. You can have one or the other. Or neither. You can have success in this world. And be godly. You can be successful and not be godly. You can be godly and not successful. Right? You know this. You can have both, you can have neither, or you can have one or the other. It really is up to you. It's your choice. God doesn't make this happen. God doesn't make you successful. You have to practice principles in order for that to happen. God just don't give you peace. You have to practice principles in order to receive that. So it's possible to be saved and never experience everything that God has for you. Because the bottom line is this. God will not force you to be prosperous. He won't force you to have joy. He won't force you to have peace. These things are available to you, but they are not automatic. They're not automatic. It just doesn't happen. And some of you in your own lives understand that that just don't happen. You have to apply the principles of God in order for you to have those things. And let me give you this one final thing that God was showing me. He also mentioned, this is good, that there are some people that are not saved that unknowingly practice the principles of God. And they see the results that those principles bring. That's why you can see somebody doing real well and stuff like that. How the heck, man, I'm serving God. And, you know, how are they doing better than me? Because they're practicing, because principles, they'll work for anybody that work them. It don't matter whether you're saved or not, right? A saved person and an unsaved person can get on top of this building. And they both can shout, I don't believe that gravity is true, right? And they just jump off, right? Both of those guys, I don't care, oh, because I'm saved. I'm not, no. Both of those guys going to meet with concrete justice. We're going to be sweeping them up off the curb, scraping them up. Whether you believe principles work or not, they will work for you or against you. No matter who applies them, the same thing will happen. If you know, if you learn how to manage your money well, if you learn how to be a giver and stuff like that, you ain't got to be saved to be prosperous. You just got to practice principles. Now, they ain't going to heaven. You can't live like the devil and still go to heaven. But here, they can live a lot more of a successful life than those that are saved and going to heaven. And you know, that's why the Bible says that the children are of the darkness. They are wiser in their generation than the children of the light. Because they understand that principles are necessary. And they learned how to work them. Why? While the children of the light, unfortunately, I don't know where this came from, but we just believe that one day God's just going to do like that and we're going to have success. We don't have to do nothing. I'm waiting on God, right? It's like sitting on a rocking chair, waiting on God. And one day God's just going to bless me and I'm going to hit the lottery. I don't know what's going to happen. Money tree in the backyard. I don't know. Something's going to happen and I'm going to be blessed. But it don't work that way. And I put these laws are universally available to everyone and anyone that will work them. Now, again, if they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. But they can experience the success that God's principles produce, even though they're not saved. You see, the principles that govern wealth is found in the book of Proverbs when it says that the hand of the diligent makes a person rich. It doesn't say that those hands have to be saved hands. It just says that the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So if you're diligent, you can become rich and have nothing to do with God. Just because you practice a principle that God has made available universally for everybody. Just like he says, the rain, it falls on the just and the unjust. It don't just like, it don't pick a person to fall on. You're walking down the same street, you're going to get some rain on you. So that's how it works, you know. Again, it just says you have to be diligent. And as long as you comply with the principle, you can enjoy the result, saved or unsaved. All right, so I wanted to lay that as a foundation first, right? We need to understand that, you know, because somehow we just thought that because I'm saved, everything just going to work out. Everything just going to, you know, something going to happen, right? Everything's going to work out for me. But it ain't true. You have to practice principles. And like I said, God has given us everything that we need. You're not getting no more. You got the Word of God, and you got the Spirit of God. And he says, if you want to know my principles for success, you got to read the Word of God. It ain't getting no. If you wanted to get a degree, you know, and whatever, business, a doctor, whatever, you just can't say, well, I'm not gonna go to school. I'm just gonna start operating on people. You know, I'm just gonna start cutting people open. Like, you know, you can't do that. You got to go to school. You gotta study. You know what I'm saying? Years of putting this stuff on the inside of you before you can even think about cutting somebody open. One day I was going to walk in the operating room. I'm a surgeon in Jesus' name. You know, like, where's the scalpel? You know, just start cutting people open. You can't do that. You got to study, you know, and now we got the Word of God. He says, you got to study this thing. You want to be successful? You got to study the Word of God. You just can't like. It's not gonna. You know, you're not gonna do this in Jesus' name, and it's gonna get in your head. You gotta study this thing, and then you gotta apply the principles of God. All right, you guys with me? All right, let me get moving on this thing. I got to start. Like I said, I'm going to take my time. I may preach on this for 2-3 weeks. I don't care. As long, you know, because I want this thing to be like so planted on the inside of you that you're not going to be, if you don't become successful, it ain't going to be because, you know, I didn't talk to you about it. And it's not going to be because you don't have everything you need. It's going to be because you decided I'm just not going to do that. You know, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just not going to do that. That's the only way. Because if you practice the principles of God for a period of time, there's no way that you cannot be successful. The word of God will work if you work it. If you don't work it, it ain't going to work. But it will work if you work it. So now the first thing you have to understand is this. You know, God wants you to be successful. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Above all things. Not some kind of a, you know, yeah, I'd be okay if that happened. No, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, what kind of a father would want his child living from hand to mouth? Broke, busted, disgusted. I mean, like, what kind of father would want that? But I can give you every tool that you need to become prosperous, but you decide, man, I don't want to die. I'm not going to do that. I can even give you, if I gave you $1 million, and you just, well, I'm just going to, and you just blow it, you'll wind up being poor anyway. So God wishes above all things that you may prosper and be in health. He don't want you sick, and he don't want you broke. He don't want you miserable. He don't want you depressed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. Can you say amen? In Psalms 35, verse 27, it says, "Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication and want what is right for me. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified." Listen to this. "Who delights and takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." He don't take pleasure when you're depressed. He don't take pleasure in that. He said, I take pleasure when my servants prosper, when they do well in life. I take pleasure in that. That makes me happy. That's what God is saying. And then in John 10:10, and I'll keep it moving, "The thief comes in order to steal and to kill and to destroy." So you can get that out of your mind if you thought that that's what God came for. The thief, right? Who's the thief? The devil. He comes not before to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come. Why did you come, Jesus? To make me miserable? To make me, you know, worse off than what I was before you came? To make me broke and sick and depressed? Is that why you came? No. I came that they may have life. And that they may enjoy life. And have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. That's what it says in the Amplified. See, we got it mistaken. You know? And Jesus said, let me clear this up right now. I'm gonna draw this line. The devil's over there, I'm over here. The thief, right? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So no, God is not killing babies and stuff like that. No. That's what the thief comes to do. I don't do that. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now here on this side, I come that you might have life, have it more abundantly, till it overflows, so that you can enjoy it. Can you say amen? Amen. So I needed to make that very clear before I even went any further. We need to know that this is, God don't take no pleasure in you doing bad. He doesn't feel good at all when you're sick, or when you're in poverty, or when you're struggling, or when you can't make it. He don't take no pleasure in that. He says, I take pleasure when my people prosper. Now, he won't make you prosper, but he wants you to. And he takes pleasure in it when you do. But he won't force it on you. You have to practice his principles. That's why he left those in place, so that we can begin to use them in order to become successful. So I put here first, you have to settle in your mind and in your heart that God wants you to prosper. And again, in fact, the scripture states that God wants you to prosper financially and be in good health physically, spiritually, and emotionally. In fact, he delights and he takes pleasure in your prosperity. And again, I'm mentioning this because if you don't believe that it is the will of God for you to prosper, you never will. That's why it's important for you to know that as your father, it is God's great desire to see you succeed in life. You know, here we are. You know, I'm almost 50. I got another 50 years to go at least. There you go. Right? And, you know, what kind of father would be like, yeah, I'm just going to keep him in misery. I like that. What kind of father would want that? I want him to enjoy his life. You know, I enjoy my life, man. I mean, I really do, man. I'm telling you right now, I really enjoy my life. But you know what? There was a time when I didn't. There was a time when I was struggling. You know, I was broke, man. There was a time. And I never forget, my credit was jacked up. Man, Mom, I had no money. I never forget, I'm walking. It was when we had the house in Orange. And I'm walking, I'm praying. I'm saved, right? So I start walking, and I start talking to God about my finances, right? And, you know, and God started, you know, he started answering me about my finances. And I said, God, you know, I never thought that you would be concerned about my finances. I never thought you would be concerned about that. And he said, I'm concerned with everything that concerns you. And that's what started my path, you know, to becoming financially independent. That's what started it. Because I was really struggling. And I had to rebuild my life. That's what got me into financial aid. I had to teach myself first. I was my first client. I had to rebuild my credit. You know, I had to, you know, put together, you know, figure out, like, what are these people talking about? What are the principles that govern finances, right? And I had to start studying and figuring out, okay, what does God say? Okay, I'm going to give, you know, and I need to learn how to manage my money properly. And I started doing that. And then little by little, got to start, you know, prospering me, little by little. So as much as God wanted me to prosper because I was doing the wrong things with my finances, my credit was jacked up and I was broke. Until I made a decision that I'm not going to live like this, man. I'm not going to be here for another 60, 70 years broke. I'm not doing that. Not when I serve a God that is the king of the universe, that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all of the onions and the potatoes that go under it. I'm going to live like, you know, like a pauper, and I'm supposed to be his son. Here I am, a prince, struggling. And I put here, see, just like a good father, our heavenly father wants his children to do well. In fact, it's a disappointment for a father to see his child struggling, living in poverty. He's like, wow, man, I'm not happy about that. I'm disappointed in that. No good father wants his children to do poorly. So why would it be difficult for us to believe that he, the ultimate great father, will want anything but prosperity for his children? Now, the devil is the only one that wants to see you fail. Again, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus makes it very clear that he came to give you the God kind of abundant life that leads to joy and abundance. Can you say amen? I want you to say, God wants me to prosper. Now I want you to say it like you mean it. God wants me to prosper. That's exactly right. See, you know, you need to, you know, I was at my pastor's church this morning. You know, I was visiting my spiritual father, and he said something that stuck out. He said, when you speak something out of your mouth, and that's why it's important for you to say it, when you speak something out of your mouth, it's easier for you to believe it. And I said, that's exactly right. Because you are the most believable person. You know, I could tell you 1,000 times, but you would never believe it until you begin to speak it. You are the most believable person in your life. And that's why confessions are so important. And you need to make confessions every day so you can hear them back. You know what I'm saying? So that you can speak to yourself. You know, there's times I be feeling weak. I start saying, I'll go in the strength of the Lord. I'll go in the strength of the Lord. And I start real low sometime. I'll go in the strength of the Lord. I start doing that for a while. Next thing you know, I'll be like, I will go in the strength. I'll be like, I'll be ready. I'll be like, where's the devil? You know, felt like I was worn out, but you know, see, you gotta speak to yourself. You know? And that's why I said, you know, you need to tell yourself, you know, I am gonna prosper. God wants that for me, and I am gonna prosper in Jesus' name. See, if you start talking, you know, I'm never gonna make it, I'm gonna lose, I'm a nobody, you'll believe it. Because again, you're the most believable person in your life. I don't care how, you know, wonderful someone tells you are. If you don't think that and you don't speak that to yourself, you'll never believe it. And you need to start speaking to yourself. Now, let me keep moving. Now, again, I'm taking my time, so I ain't worried about it. And turn to Psalms chapter 68, verse 6. This is what God showed me. This messed me up. This is so good. Listen to this. This is so beautiful. Psalm 68, verse 6 in the Amplified, it says, God makes a home for the lonely. I love that. He leads the prisoners into prosperity. Listen to this. Only the stubborn and rebellious dwell in a parched land. Whew. Does that blow your mind or what? See, God, he makes a home for the lonely. He leads prisoners into prosperity. Only the stubborn and those that are rebellious will dwell in a parched land. And see, when I read this scripture, it arrested me. And see, it revealed to me that if you partner with God, he can put your life in order. Again, he makes a home for the lonely. He leads prisoners into prosperity. In other words, wherever you are in life, he can bless you and prosper you. If you're lonely, he can make a home for you. If you're in prison, you know, talking about a prisoner to poverty, he can lead you into prosperity. If you connect with God and obey his principles, he can turn your life around. As we see from this scripture, it is only the stubborn and rebellious that remain or dwell in a parched land. Those that decide not to obey the principles of God, but decide to do it their way. They will suffer the consequences for their lack of obedience and compliance. They will remain lonely and poor because they don't practice the principles of God. See, only the stubborn and rebellious. Stubborn person says, I'm going to do it my way. I don't believe that. Right? Stubborn person, I don't care how many facts you give me. I don't believe that. You know what stubbornness is? It's idolatry. The Bible says that, you know, it's a type of idolatry because it's the worship of your own opinion. You become a god to yourself. You know, I don't believe that. This is what I believe. Well, here, this is what the Bible says. I don't care what that says. This is what I believe. And they become a god to themselves. And he says, only the stubborn and those that are rebellious. You don't be a rebel. You know, I'm doing it my way. God, you should do it this way. No, I'm going to do it my way. Only the stubborn and rebellious remain in a parched land. A land that's dry, barren, a desert. Nothing is producing anything. Only when you're stubborn and rebellious. See, because if you begin to practice the principles of God, you're going to come out. You're only going to stay there if you're stubborn and you're rebellious. So we know that God wants us to prosper. We know that's his desire for us. But again, we got to begin to practice his principles if we want to begin to experience that type of success. So let's start talking about the principles of God, right? As they govern financial breakthroughs. So again, I'm going to take my time. I talked about all of this at LOJ, but I'm going to take my time and just break it down a little bit more. But Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 through 22. Now, by the way, this is right after Noah. He comes out of the ark. You know, God destroys the whole earth with a flood. And Noah, he comes out of the ark. And he makes a sacrifice before God. And once he makes that sacrifice, you know, God makes a covenant. And he makes a statement with him. And it says, The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man. And he says, for the intent or the desire of man's heart is wicked from his youth. And he says, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. Now, this is when God starts putting principles in place, right? He establishes principles right here, principles that remain to this day. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. These are principles that God put into motion. He said, there's always going to be cold and heat. Right, we're experiencing it now, man. We're in like a heat wave. There's always going to be winter and summer, he says. And there's always going to be day and night. Shall never cease. But he also mentioned one other thing. He said seed time and harvest time will not cease either. And that just simply means that if whatever seed that you sow, you're going to reap a harvest of it. Good or bad, whatever that is. Now, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, I'm reading in the Message. This is the sister scripture to that. And he says, be not deceived, or don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. And he says, what a person plants or what they sow, he will harvest or reap. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. Whew. My God, man. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And he goes on to say, so let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued while doing good, because at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. So this principle, this is known as the seed principle, and it is probably, I would say, the most powerful principle that God has established. It's the principle that states that when you take a seed and sow it, that it will become a harvest of whatever you sowed, no matter what it is. In other words, it's the principle that says that you'll reap whatever you sow. And that's powerful because if you can find seeds that contain what you want out of life, all you have to do is sow it, and you can create a harvest of it. That's it. If I want apples, all I have to do is find some apple seeds. That's all I got to do. And I sow them, and guess what's going to happen? I'm going to reap a bushel of apples. All I need to do is find the seeds. If you want tomatoes, I just have to sow tomato seeds. I sow those seeds, and I'm going to get tomatoes. I'm not going to sow tomatoes and get bananas, right? Whatever you sow, that and only that will you be able to reap, right? So that's so beautiful because all I have to do is say, okay, what do I want out of life? And then once I determine that, I just need to find the seeds that I need and sow them, and I can reap a harvest. Can you say amen? But this principle doesn't just end with fruits and vegetables. It's a principle that will work with anything in life. See, if a couple wants a baby, the man just has to sow a seed into the woman. And another person is created. It's a seed principle. If you sow it, you'll reap it. Can you say amen? If I want friendship, the Bible says I just have to show myself friendly to others. Be a friend to someone else. Be to somebody what you want, and then God will cause you to reap a harvest of it. Be a friend. If I want money, I just need to sow money seeds and the financial principles that govern money and sow that, and then I'll reap a harvest. Whatever it is that you need out of life or that you want out of life, if you can find the seeds for it and sow it, then you can reap a harvest of it. It doesn't matter what it is. You just have to think about, what do I want? And then begin to sow those seeds. But guess what? It works the opposite way too. Because if you sow the wrong seeds, you're going to reap the wrong harvest. And most people, unknowingly, they sow bad seeds. And then years down the road, they You're like, why is my life like this? See, your life is the way you are, it is right now. Not because of, you know, God wants you to be here. It's because of whatever seeds you sowed, you know, sometimes years ago that just lead up to this. And if you're in a good place, then that's great. You know, but if you find yourself with a wreck of a life, it's because you sowed those seeds and now you're reaping a harvest. Now, the good news is this. If that is the case, all you have to do is uproot all of those crazy seeds and begin to sow the right seeds. And then down the road, you're going to get the right harvest. Can you say amen? See, it's principles, right? It's choice, not chance, that determines destiny. You know, it's not the luck of the draw. It's not just, oh, you know, their life is like that because of whatever. No, no, no. Our life becomes what it is because of the seeds that we sow. And so that night I began to talk about some of the seeds that need to be sowed if you want to be, if you want to live a good life, if you want to live a prosperous life, right? You know, there was some years ago, you know, I began to preach a message, right, on, you know, creating a beautiful life, right? Because at the end of the day, if you can find, it's like baking a cake or cooking something, right? In order for, see, when I cook something, I got some things, like, I got them down. Like, I know exactly how long I need to cook. I know, like, the temperature. I know the spices. I know, right? And I make it the same way every time. And guess what? Every time, it comes out the same way. Right? I do this salmon dish. Man, I season that bad boy up. I get my cast iron pan. I make this seasoned oil that I do, right? Olive oil, seasoned olive oil, right? I put that thing in there, 15 minutes on 450. Thing comes out of there, man, that's perfect. Every time. I mean, perfect, man. I mean, like, stick your fork in there, be like. Every time. Perfect. You know, cooked to perfection. Not too long, not too, I got the time down. You know what I'm saying? So, that's how life can be, right? If you can find the right ingredients to make a perfect life and you begin to, you know, and you begin to practice those things every day, right? Just like I do the same thing every time. That's why I like my life to be very, my life is very orderly and disciplined. I do the same things every day, every single day. You know, like I don't divert or change in any way. I keep it very consistent. I get up in the morning, you know, and I wash the dishes. I pray in the spirit while I'm washing the dishes. I make my coffee. I sit down, and I begin to study the word of God every day. Right? After I finish with that, then I begin to pray in the natural. Then I begin to quote confessions. I have confessions that take me 30 minutes to confess. And I mean, it's the most tedious thing in the world. And I don't want to do it at all. But I quote these scriptures because I'm believing God for some things. So I'm repeating, you know, God says, put me in remembrance of my word. Let us plead together. So I quote to God the things that I'm believing for. I pray for, you know, my family. I pray for the church family, right? And I pray for you, God, every single day, right? And I have confessions that I make for you guys every day, right? For my family, every day I make these confessions. And then I start speaking over my health, our health, finances. I pray for, you know, marriages. I pray for singles. Every day, I pray for those that are being sex trafficked. I pray for kids. Every day, like, I have this, these things that I pray for every single day. But my life is regiment, right? And I do that because I found success in it. And now that I found success in it, I stick with it. And then if God changes something, says, I want you to do this today, then I'm open for that. But if he don't change nothing, this is what we do every day. So I can stay disciplined. So there's certain things that you need to do if you want to live a successful life. You got to discipline yourself to do certain things. So sowing seeds, right? I got to get ready to close. It's crazy. Already. Feel like I'm just getting started. So someone sees, I put here, a faithfulness in the little things. And then you're going to reap a harvest of great things. Now, this is the principle. God will never give you more if you don't, if you can't or you don't manage what you already have. If you can't handle what God has already given you, he's not giving you more. God will give you a little bit to start with, see how you handle it. You know, a little bit of money, see how you handle it. A little, you know, hoop ride car. See how you handle a hoop ride. Do you kick it? You know, do you wash it, shine and stuff like that? I don't care if it's a hoop ride, you know. Keep it nice, keep it clean, right? And God will bless you with another ride. Give you a little apartment, right? You take care of that little apartment. Next thing you know, you'll be in a house. Little things. He starts you with small things first. And then see how you handle it. And if you can prove yourself faithful in handling it, he'll give you more. Now, this principle is found in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 12. And he amplified, he says, this is Jesus speaking. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in very little things is dishonest and unjust also in much. And he says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the case of the unrighteous mammon, which speaks of money, right? Riches, money, possessions. If you're not faithful over those things, who will entrust to you the true riches? If you can't be faithful over that, how are you going to get what's really valuable? And if you have not proved yourself faithful in that which belongs to another, whether that's God or man, who will give you that which is your own? So this is the faithfulness test. God will always start you with a little bit of something of your own, see how you handle it. And he'll always also start you off with something that belongs to someone else to see how you treat it. You know, here we are in this church, right? Some of you, this is our church. You know, Pastor Todd was here. I like that. He preached on the church on Thursday night. I hope you guys saw that. If you didn't, you need to go back and look at it. But he said, you know, he said, this is not, you know, he said, this is not my church, Gavin's church. He said, this is our church, right? So you walk inside here, something on the ground, you just walk by, keep it going. This is our church. Pick it up. You know? Oh, that's a mess over there. We'll clean it up. You know, do something to help other than complain. You know, because now you're taking care of something that belongs to somebody else. Because this church is God's church. You know what I'm saying? So take care of that. That's why I'm very, in this place, I'm very meticulous, man. You look at this place. Nothing's out of place. I walk through this place, man. I put every, you know, and I can tell, you know, the mindset of people, right? I see things out of order. And I'm like, see, people don't have an eye for detail. You know? I like things lined up properly. I don't like them off center. So I center things, make sure it's right. I come inside here, I vacuum. I do the bathroom if it's not done right. I start looking at over here, like, you know, my oil, sometimes it'd be just out of position. I put it straight. I'm looking at everything. I walk inside here, I look at everything in this place because I want this place to be beautiful. You know, the Bible says that the house of God should be exceeding magnificent. This place should be absolutely beautiful. I don't care how big or how small it is. It's supposed to be beautiful. And so I try to keep this place nice because I want to show God that I'm taking care of your house. I want to make your house beautiful. When people come here, I want them to be like, man, every time somebody walk in this door for the first time, be like, man, this place is beautiful. Like every time somebody walk in this door. And that's what I want. God came inside here, went to that bathroom. He said, my God, man, he said, you could eat off that floor. It's like, we keep this place right. We don't mess this place up. You know what I'm saying? Take care of something that God has entrusted to you. You want more? You got to take care of what God has already given you. Most people treat their stuff like junk. It's like it's a mess. And that's why God will never give you more. Because if you can't handle something small, he's not giving you nothing big. I say, okay, God, you know, see how we take care of this place? One day, he's going to give us a big, huge place. You know why? Because we take care of this little place. Prove you can't take care of this, well, I'm going to give you something else for. You can't even handle that place. So we need to learn how to handle small things, small responsibilities. You know, I give you something to do, you know. If you want, if you prove yourself faithful by me not having to come back and say, hey, did you do that? You know, people can't do, unless you ask them 1,000 times, they don't do it. You're not proving yourself faithful in smaller matters. You won't get more responsibility because you can't handle the smaller matters. You're on your job, they say, you know, somebody, your boss asks you to do something, you know, okay, you know, week later, did you do that? No. And you want a promotion. You know, if I'm asked to do something, I do it immediately. You know, because I don't want a whole lot of stuff hanging over my head, so I just get it out of the way. While it's in my mind, I'm doing it right now. Because I don't want to forget about it, so I do it right then. You know, see, it's about learning how to be faithful over things. And see, if you learn how to be faithful and you begin to sow that, then God will give you a harvest of larger things. He says, if you can't be responsible over something that belongs to somebody else, I'm not giving you nothing that belongs to you. All right, you guys act like you don't like this, but it's the truth. See, you're sowing seeds. Seeds of unfaithfulness will cause you to have lack. You won't be able to climb because you're not faithful. And God's not going to give you nothing if you're not faithful. It's required in the Bible that says, it's a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. He says, you know, having trust in an unfaithful man is like putting your trust in a broken tooth or a foot that's out of joint. Can't put your trust, you know, like here you are, you're going to eat something. And this is an unfaithful man, right? He says, having confidence in an unfaithful man is like this. You having confidence in a tooth that's broken. You chew on that thing, it's going to cause you great pain. Or a foot that's out of joint. You try to stand on a foot that's out of joint, you're going down. But that's what the Bible compares having confidence in someone that's not faithful. God's not going to trust you with anything if you're not faithful. He said, I'm not going to put no trust in that. I know they're not going to do it. I know they're not going to be able to handle it. So the first key to prosperity is to be able to be faithful with something that belongs to someone else. Again, God will never give you something that belongs to you if you're not faithful in taking care of something that belongs to someone else. Do your job so well that people know that they're doing well because of you. So well that the company doesn't want you to leave. When that happens, you can name your price. If you do that, you'll have no problem with being promoted. Ever. All you have to do is begin to sow those seeds, and God will make sure that you're promoted. The next thing that Jesus says is that if you can't be faithful and be able to handle money, then you'll never be able to be entrusted to handle the true riches. You see, what you do with the little bit of money you have right now is an indicator of what you would do with it if you had a lot of it. If you waste the little bit of money you have now, all you'll do if you have more money is waste it to a larger degree. I remember watching this documentary. I'm going to close. I'm about to get ready to close. I remember watching this documentary called The Curse of the Lottery. And this guy, man, all these people was winning all of these multi-million dollars. This guy won 100-something million dollars, right? And he never had any money in his life. He was a carnival worker. Make $4 an hour, something like that. Never knew how to handle or manage money. Now he got $150 million. They give him his first draw was like $15 million. I mean, to watch the way this guy blew this money. I mean, he was buying cars and planes and houses, stuff like that. Man, he took $500,000 and put it in a briefcase. And he was riding around town with it in his back seat. And somebody broke in the car and stole the money. I'm like, what do you need to ride around with $500,000 for? By the end of the first year, not only was he broke and waiting for his next installment, he was in debt. How you get $15 million and be in debt after a year? See, whatever you do with a little bit of money right now is what you'll do with a whole lot of money if you ever got it. And that's why you won't get more. Until you prove yourself faithful with a little bit of money, God will never give you the riches that he really wants to give you. And that's why he utilizes things like the tithe as an indicator of how you'll honor him if you got real money. And people say, well, if I hit the lottery, I'll give you my tithe. If you can't tithe a dollar off the $10 you have right now, you'll never or $1.2 billion was the last lottery. You're going to give God $100 million? Like, what? If you can't give him a buck or 10 bucks, you will never give him that much money. See, you start off with the little bit, and God says, honor me with a little bit. Honor me with 10% of that. All right, just honor me with that. Wherever you're at, don't make no difference. All you make is $10, just honor me with a dollar. I'm not trying to take all your money. If you get $100, just give me 10 of it. That's all. I'm not trying to take everything you got. See, let me see how you can honor me with that. Let's start there, and then we'll see where it goes. No matter how much or little you make, God only asks you to honor him with a little bit of it. In his eyes, everybody's equal, no matter where you are in life. So if you don't honor him with the tithe right now, he knows that you will never honor him if he gave you greater wealth. That's why, you know, he uses these little principles. Let me see. See, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And same is true with the way you handle money. If you can't handle a little bit of money, you will never be able to handle a whole lot of money. So that's why I always start with, okay, I remember I had somebody, I got to close. You got to help me. I remember I had this guy recently, you know, and I was sitting down with him to help him with his finances. And I started talking to him about budget. He's like, see, I don't want to talk about that, right? He said, I just want to learn how I can make some more money. You know, that's like, I don't want to live restrictive. I just want to learn how to make some more money, right? So I said, listen, man. I said, let me say this to you. I understand about making more money. And that's great. I think that's great. I said, but the real issue that most people have is not the fact that they need to make more money. They need to learn how to manage what they already have. And if you learn how to manage what you already have, once you start making more money, you'll be in a better position. He says, so listen, we start here. You know what I'm saying? It starts with management. And after we did his budget, he found out that he had almost $1,000 that he should have available. And I was like, well, this is what you showed me, right? He said, I got no $1,000 available after I finished. I said, well, it's going somewhere. So he said, I'm going to have a conversation with my wife. We're going to sit down, you know, like. I said, see, that's why we budget. Because had we not done that, you would have had no clue that $1,000 was just being wasted somewhere every month. And that's what I find out with probably 80% of the people that I sit down with. It's not that they need to make more money. It's that they need to learn how to manage what they're already making. And if they would just start with that, they would be in so much of a better place. And even if they did need to make more money, at least making sure that they're managing what they're already bringing in. Once they start making more money, they'll be in a better position. See, these are principles. But see, people don't want to practice principles. They just want God to give them a spiritual lottery every time they need it. But if you learn how to handle what God has already given you, you won't have to worry about no lottery. You'll be good to go. So that's where we start. You know, I got, you know, again, I'm going to take maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks to really get through this, because there's so much more. You know, this is, we're just kind of cracking the, you know, the shell on this. But we're going to get into this thing a little more deep. But by the time I finish this message, 2 weeks from now, whenever I finish this message, if you practice these principles and you start applying them to your life, by this time next year, you will not be in the same place. Now, am I telling you going to be filthy rich next year? No. But you're going to be in so much of a better place than you are right now. And the longer you practice those principles, the more prosperous you're going to become. Can you say amen? Lift your hands to the Lord Jesus. Let's get ready to close. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. We bless you. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I just believe that we all needed to hear this. We needed to hear this word. It's good to hear the principles of God so we can start using them. We can start practicing them. And Father, we just want to say thank you for everything that you said to us today. And I pray, Father, that nobody here will be stubborn or rebellious, because we know that you are able to lead us into a good life if we are not stubborn or rebellious. If we would just practice your principles, we would find the success that we're looking for. You have given us everything that we need for this life and for godliness. You have left us with the word of God that is so powerful that it could cut through anything. And you have given us your Holy Spirit, your divine presence, God living on the inside of us, that is able to give us the strength and power and grace that we need in order to do what we cannot do in and within ourselves. And Father, we are just so grateful for these tools that you have given us. And we pray, Father, that we will not be someone that will not practice the principles that you've given us. We don't want to be on this planet miserable all of our lives, just hoping and wishing and waiting to go to heaven. We want to live that God kind of abundant life that the Lord Jesus promised that he came to give us. And I know all we have to do is comply with your word, with your principles, and we'll be able to receive it. And Father, for it, we just want to say thank you. We bless you. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're here today, you're watching online, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus, if that's you and you want to do that, I want to pray for you. See, again, giving your life to Jesus is the most important thing, because that writes your ticket to heaven. And then once you have that, then you have to start practicing the principles of God. But it starts here. It starts with accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let's take care of that. So if you're here today and you've never done that, or if you're backslidden and you know you are and you want to get it right with God, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. You can stand up where you are. You can stand up online. Wherever you are, just stand up and we'll just pray together. And I want everybody to pray after me. Hallelujah. I want everybody to pray with me and these beautiful people here. I want you to say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that you died for my sins and you rose from the dead to make me right with God. Now, Heavenly Father, I accept the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Come into my heart. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now let's just give Jesus a praise. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. All right. We're going to get ready to close. What we're going to do right now, we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and with our offering, special giving. You know, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, your presses, they'll burst out with new wine. He said, bring all the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And he said, put me to the test. Prove me. See if I'll not open up for you the windows of heaven. He said, I'll pour you out blessings that you don't even have room enough to receive. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. Like I just mentioned, You know, this is the time where you prove where your heart is at. You know what I'm saying? He says, honor me where you are. Honor me what you have. He's not trying to take anything from you. He's trying to get something back from you, get something to you. It's a seed that you sow in order for God to release a harvest in your life. Tithes and offerings, they go in this envelope. You're going to write a check. You write it to the love of Jesus. You can give on your debit card. You can use our Cash App at @LOJNN. Hallelujah. And let's do that. I also want to mention to you that our anniversary is coming up. So as you're giving your offering, our ninth anniversary is coming up September. It's going to be September 16th, 17th, and 18th. My pastor is going to be with us September 16th. September 17th, we're going to be at Stephen Crane. We're going to do a major cookout. And then September 18th, we're going to have Bishop Barber with us on that Sunday. And, you know, we'll give you more information as that gets closer. But we're asking everybody, if you can, to give an offering of $250 towards it. Now, again, this is not something that we're asking you to do as an admission fee or anything like that. We don't charge admission fees. Anybody in this church that comes here is able to come to our anniversary. We're going to have a major a banquet Friday night. Saturday, we're going to have a cookout. And then Sunday, we'll have Bishop Barber with us. Everybody can come. But we just ask you to help us. If you can sow $250 towards it, or whatever you can sow to help us with it, we really greatly appreciate it. We got a lot going on. Have you guys been watching Let's Talk? Our studio in the back is almost completed. We kind of created a TV studio, and we're almost done. So to God be the glory. Soon we're going to be watching it on there. That's what we got the new cameras for. We just got to get these new cameras together. But it's going to be beautiful once everything is done. Okay. That's it. Let's go ahead and worship God with tithes and offerings. Let's go ahead and do that. Hallelujah. Where's my ushers at? Somebody got to take the offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Let's just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God is so faithful. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen, 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 amen. So God is good. He's so faithful. Also, I want to remind you that we have our prayer request treasure chest right here. If you want to leave a prayer request, you can. When I come inside here, I lay hands on it, I pray, come into agreement with you for the things you're believing God for. So if you want to do that, just get a little index card, a little piece of paper, just write on it. If you need one, you can see one of our ushers, they'll give you one, and you can just put it in that treasure chest, and I'm going to pray for it. Amen. All right, we good? Good here? All right. Come on, William. Come on up here. Come on, William. All right. Amen. Stretch forth your hands, everybody, to this offering. Let's bless it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for everybody that gave to this offering today. Father, bless your people. Open up for them the windows of heaven. Pour them out blessings that they don't have room enough to receive. Shower them with the blessings and favor of God. Give them more than enough where there is no lack. And Father, for we thank you, we bless you, and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. All right, everybody stand up on your feet. Let me bless you as we get ready to leave. Hallelujah. Right over here. All right, amen. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious and merciful and kind to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, grant you his holy peace in Jesus' matchless name. I decree over your life that you are blessed and that you can't be cursed. And I want everybody to say that. I want you to say, I'm blessed and I can't be cursed in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. I love you. Have a great rest of your day. Thursday night, we have Let's Talk at 5 p.m. Make sure that you join us live on Facebook or on YouTube. All right, the Lord bless you. I love you.
If you see someone in need, meet them where they at. If you see someone that's hurt, hit them where they at. If you ever see a problem, home, solve it with this fact. If the Father put you through it, trust me, he gon' have your back. If you see someone in need, meet them where they at. If you see someone that's hurt, hit them where they at. If you ever see a problem, home, solve it with this fact. If the Father put you through it, trust me, he gon' have your back.
Rings. Come fellowship with us at the Love of Jesus Church of North Newark, led by Pastors Gavin and Tanya Taylor, where our mission is to find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it, find a problem and solve it.